Hi, my name is Ophélie, and you're listening to the Mama Activist Podcast, a podcast where we explore topics ranging from social justice, culture, politics, and news through deep conversation with myself, activists, humanitarians, and everyday people trying to make a difference. It's a space where we are willing to learn, grow, and be challenged collectively while highlighting activists doing amazing things in the world. From hearing new perspectives to learning new things, we are pushing for a better world, fighting for our liberation and reclaiming our power. So tune in and be a part of the movement.
Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Mama Activist podcast with your favorite Mama Activist. And I am back with my sister, Cassandra, that you know all very well now. Hi, Cassandra.
Hi, everyone.
How are you doing today?
I am good. Tired, but good.
How is the pregnancy going?
Doing well. Doing well, yeah. The last stretch.
Yes. You are at the end of the third trimester now.
Still a couple of weeks to go, but yeah.
Yeah, so soon my son will be here.
Yeah.
Yes, how exciting. Mm-hmm. How exciting. So today's conversation is going to be about my sister working in a white-dominated company and how does this impact her mental health. It's a conversation that I really wanted to have with her, given that, yes, she works in an environment where she's an obvious minority, being also in a country where we are a minority, and I just wanted to know how safe you felt, how this might impact your mental health, how do you feel, if you feel like you always have to kind of like be like defensive, or if you ever dealt with like racism in your workplace, or like passive aggressivity and those kind of things.
Yeah. So, I've been living in the UK for now. It's going to be 10 years of September. I've been working ever since in different companies, different industries. I did the travel industry. I did cloud security and now construction. I predominantly worked either in customer service, sales, on our customer success. And all the time in the UK office, I was one of the only Black person to be there. Even though I was not the only person who wasn't English, I was definitely one of the only one who was dark skinned, if not Black. Mm-hmm. I guess initially, my first experience with, I would say a hostile environment was, funny enough, 2016, when I was there right after the Brexit was announced and voted. The attitude of people, both for me being French and Black, was in a predominantly white and English environment, was not the nicest. Mm-hmm. It was pretty much, oh, you know, is this little passive aggressive, those little comments now and then, like, oh my God, what are you still doing here? Or stuff like that.
Yeah, and those little comments are like, they are so violent, yeah, and so aggressive.
Yes. But the first worst experience I had was when you're a minority, especially in a big corporate American company, it's very hard to be taken seriously. And it's always hard to stand up for yourself because you're thinking, oh, who's gonna listen to me anyway? You know?
Yeah.
I'm the only Black girl of the team. Who's gonna take the time to seriously listen to what I have to say and help me? Mm. So TripAdvisor. So that was
You worked for TripAdvisor.
Yeah, for about a year. And I actually was sexually harassed during my time there by someone, quite heavily, actually. And it was actually played against me by the few co-workers that knew about it. And it was very, very hard for me to go to HR because I was very scared just to be branded like this little black troubled girl who come and cause trouble. So I kept it shut. To be honest, I didn't say anything to HR, just dealt with it. My partner didn't know about it until I left the company. And then when he initially found out, he was like, "But why didn't you say anything, you know?" And he said to me, "You're the minority of the minority." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's because I'm the minority of the minority, that it's not easy to speak loudly about something happening. If I was blonde, blue eyes, 5'1", looking like angel, of course they will listen to me, but no,
I mean,
that's not
looking like the illustration of what an angel is, which
yeah,
is a white,
person
blonde
with blue eyes.
girl, like,
Exactly.
yeah, exactly. But how much violence that, yeah, and even for you know, the fact that you had to like silence yourself because
Yes.
you knew you were part of a minority and you didn't think that,
So,
yeah, that it would be taking well
yeah.
to you complaining about someone.
I actually was
Let's
scared
take
to get fired.
reality.
I actually was scared to get fired. That's why I didn't say anything. I was like, if they had to choose, they would fire me more than the person who was actually responsible of that behavior. Then something I've noticed throughout my years of experience is later on, when companies started to speak about diversity, about how they wanted a more inclusive place work,
Yeah,
I started to be
diversity.
contacted more and more by recruiters, right? And actually, I was having an interview with this company for a sales role, and during the last stage of the interview, and I kid you not, I was against someone who had the same skill set as me, actually even a better Spanish than I had, and the company said to me, "Oh, we really, really would like you to work with us because we're trying to increase our diversity quota, and you're a black woman, so he will work towards our target."
And they think it's okay to say things like
So
this.
I didn't take
They
the
also
job.
think that it makes you feel kind of like special, I
I
think.
didn't take the job, but I was like, okay, fine, here's how much I want. So they initially matched the salary that I wanted. But how could I take this job when you tell me
Yeah.
that?
Because they were basically telling you that they wanted to hire you because you're a
I'm black.
minority and they
Yeah.
want to make themselves look better.
Exactly.
Yeah, so you know already that it's not going to be a safe environment where they're going to be actively trying to
Yeah.
to like
Promote my
disrupt
boys,
racism and to like make
etc.
the place more inclusive. They were just trying to make this place more diverse to like them, to make themselves feel good and look good.
Exactly. But then,
Yeah.
funny enough, I then find out that I could use this as an advantage. Unfortunately, that's the truth. So in sales, I was always the only black girl. I think I only had one manager who was black, or two actually. And funny enough, the only black woman who was a manager in my company, at least in France, in the UK, she was branded as tough, as almost borderline abusive, just because she had to work twice harder to be recognized as a good manager compared to others. She's an excellent manager. And she saw me, she wanted to take me in her team, but people tried to talk me out of it. They were like, "Cassie, don't go there." And I think down the line, it's just because she knew she was a black woman, so she had to work
Yeah,
twice.
and obviously she had to work twice
She
as hard, and
had to put her team.
she probably also had to deal with so much like passive aggressivity, racist comments,
Oh, 100%. 100%.
and like and having to defend them herself
You
in a
know.
way that also didn't make her fired.
Exactly. So she had to make
Yeah.
sure her team was always performing at the top of the board too, for people to look at her and say, "Yeah, you're a good manager." She doesn't have kids because at no time did she feel comfortable to stop her career to build a family, because she knew as a black woman it's hard to leave and come back. Then in sales, it has been, I've been fetishized by clients actually, because the company knew it. And actually, one of my previous sales managers used to tell me that I should actually use this in my advantage to seduce clients and make them sign. And that until I know how to use my sex appeal properly, maybe be promoted into a more serious sales role wouldn't fit me. And
This
then,
is what he said to you in your face.
And he compared me with my one of my counterpart who was white, telling me, "Look at her. She knows how to use her body. You're a black woman. Do you know how many people fetishize you? You should use it and make them." The word exact was, "When you go to a client meeting, you need to make them hard for them to buy what you're trying to sell." I was like, "Okay." He's
This
like,
is so violent. This is so racist and so violent.
And then what did I face again? I faced, I was never heard like. I was in a team full of men, and then there were a couple of women, the white woman. And I've learned, especially moving to the UK, that I didn't want to silence my voice. If I had something to say, I will say it. But then turns out I was always branded as too direct, complaining all the time, too negative, that I didn't know how to express myself very well. This is the problem I'm currently facing with my current company, where I'm told I'm too violent, I'm too direct, when I'm just saying the truth, at least in my opinion. I'm not even rude or anything, but I've been branded with communication issues, for stuff that people have been saying around anyway, but because, they associate. And we had a workshop in my company where someone clearly said that it's proven that a black person or person from BIPOC communities at the workplace are branded more likely as
I was like angry and like
angry,
on you.
arrogant,
As being
not willing
passive
to
aggressive,
understand exactly. So
like not full, like not being team workers.
exactly. Oh yeah, I heard it all. And then this is the top. This is the visible one. But then you have all those like comments that you hear now and then, like, "Cassie, you have a good butt, but it's normal, given that you're black," or stuff like that. Or we went to karaoke and they were like, "But Cassie, you know how to sing anywhere because you're black." It's all those little stereotypes that you hear all the time. I've been harassed, sexually harassed at two workplaces, and I never felt comfortable saying it out loud.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
One of my manager used to. Because he never liked the fact that I was with my partner, and he was trying hard to make me go to work from the London to the London office. When I finally had to say yes, he said, "Okay, now that I have you moving to working in London, and now I have now to make you leave your partner and find you a proper man." This type of stuff, and I never felt comfortable because, again, a girl at that same role did speak up. She ended up leaving. And she was white from Turkey. And me as a black woman, it was my voice against who? Everyone? It's already hard to establish yourself in the workplace as a woman, let alone a black woman. Every companies
But
that I
it
worked with,
sounds like, yeah.
every company I worked with that claimed diversity, I am yet to see it happened. I think the only one was because the founder was Indian, so the whole of most of the board were from India. But again, it's down to the UK office and the hierarchy in the UK office. The team looks exactly the same: young boys in their 20s, white, blue eyes, blonde, or like nice haircut and shit like that. They haven't hired a lot of black people at all. Then they claim, "Oh, it's not like we don't want to, it's because nobody applied." And I'm like, "Nobody applied because they can't feel safe working for you guys." Then in my current
Yeah.
company, it's been, there's a lot of awards, a lot of recognition, a lot of things that happens, but you won't see clear representation. And I remember I joined this
Are
company.
they trying to make the place more inclusive? Like you talked about diversity and inclusion, but trust diversity and inclusion are two different things, even though they are interconnected concepts. They are far from being interchangeable. So diversity is all about like representation or like the makeup of an entity. So you like
yeah, just trying to like have more like representative of like different cultures. But inclusion is all about making the space inclusive and safe for everyone. So you talked a lot about diversity, but yeah, were they actively trying to make the place more inclusive? So did they have like code of conduct?
They do have a place of conduct, but here, listen, my previous manager was mixed race lady. Mm-hmm. And in the UK office, she was the only black, in quotes, manager in the whole European office. Asian, mm-hmm, added as well. The US is another story. We are currently over 3,000 employees. I think we are perhaps 100 to 150 black people all combined in an industry which is predominantly governed by white dudes. And she told me once, we went to a pub and stuff, she started drinking, and she said, Kaz, for the last 5 years here, I had to fight to see more inclusion. If you look at all the people that were recognized publicly, that were spoken of, or even the management, the leadership, there's not a single person of color in the whole company leadership at all. I think the most you're going to see is manager like my N plus one, maybe N plus two. That's how far it's going to go. Okay. Mm-hmm. And let alone a black woman. You see black dude, it's true. Black woman, most likely you will see them in HR. Most of the time they're in HR only. HR or marketing. But on a serious role, no, they don't. And my manager was like, I've been fighting for it.
You need to have more women of color, more black women in position, and like, I quote, power.
They don't push it. Because I remember when I joined, they had this whole beautiful presentation about the company, about the future for next year, and they showed all the people that were recognized as high performers and stuff. And I remember going and see the head of the region and say, hey, there's something that bothers me with your presentation. Obviously, in the London office, you do have some people of color that does an amazing job. Why don't I see anything represented on the presentation? Because you keep talking about diversity, but I don't see diversity there. And he's like, yes, I get it, Cass. I understand your point of view. Let's work together. Try to make it more inclusive. It's been a year and I'm yet to see it. And an example that happened last year, actually. February, for the one who doesn't know, is in the US, is a Black History Month.
Yeah.
In England, the Black History Month is around October, if I'm not mistaken. October or November, one of those two. I remember slacking my manager and say, hey, it's Black History Month in the UK. Have you seen any communication from the company, any blog post or any LinkedIn post or anything that promotes the Black History Month in the UK?
Celebrate, yeah.
She said, no, that's a good point. So she escalated it to the head of the region. And here what he responded. He responded that it's not worth mentioning it until we become bigger. And then it would make sense to celebrate minorities in the London.
What do you mean if we got bigger?
If they hire more people and stuff like that. And I remember,
well, he meant because there was not a lot of black people in the company and it's not worth
Cass, I'm so sorry. And I said to her, and I said, honestly, I feel a bit uncomfortable with this answer, because even if it's just one person, if you want to attract and if you really want to promote diversity, action are louder than words. That's what you have to do.
No, but that was clearly racist. Saying this is racist.
If it's only,
saying
even
that
it's only
we don't want to take a... Yeah, but it's so super racist to say that they don't want to make a statement or to like show support for Black History Month because they don't have enough black people in their company.
And to be honest,
like having a few black people in the company is not worth celebrating Black History Month, is clearly racist also because we're talking about a white dominated company in the corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
So a company that, you know, doesn't hire a lot of black people because of, like, yeah, because of, you know why. And yeah. so like not only there is like a lack of willingness, but in term on top of this is a lot of like performative, like there is a lot of performative things, you know, because they say that they want to be more diverse, so they hire you to like make themselves more diverse. They talk about diversity in their presentation or like whatsoever, but then when it comes to make the action and the steps to show their solidarity, to show that they stand up with like Black Lives Matter, with the Black Lives Matter movement, or that they are here to make a safer space for the people of color who are working for their company, then they do those kind of things. It clearly shows that it is not a priority for them to make the space safe for people of color. It also shows their lack of like awareness and their lack of like will to to make the space inclusive, which equal racism. Is they are being racist?
Yeah, it's systematic racism, and
yeah, exactly, systematic racism.
And the thing is, like, even when you flag it, they don't apologize. He didn't apologize. He didn't say I'm sorry, because she copy paste exactly his answer to me, because on that one she was completely transparent. And then, you know, I am the only Black person in my team, as of now. You know, I do work because I have to survive. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
I'm comfortable. I want to, like, you know, I want to provide for my son what I can give, and I want to be able to help my family when they are in need, you know. But God, sometimes it's hard, you know, to go to a room and to look around and to just see nobody that looks like you, you know. It's hard to... I was asked to speak at a global event for our company.
Uh-huh.
I was the only Black person who spoke, you know, the whole thing. I think the only other Black person was from HR, I think. And I literally was about to refuse because I was like, I'm scared. I was scared. I felt embarrassed. I didn't look like anybody on the calls. And when I spoke, I received a lot of messages from people saying, Cass, it was such a lovely surprise to see someone different speaking. It was nice to see you. It was nice that they make it global and stuff. You know, it's about freaked out, you know, when you enter to a room, when you go to see clients, when all the management is coming and you have to speak up, you know, it's hard.
Yeah, especially because there was a, I cannot even imagine. And also because there is clearly a lack of effort from your workplace to make the safe, to make the space safe for you. So yeah, it's even more pressure than when you're asked to speak in those kind of like
events,
knowing that, you know, yeah, knowing that there is a lack of support from them to make the space to make the space safer for you. And it's a lot to speak in front of a lot of people.
Yeah.
And especially when you know you don't have support, or you have had not support, you can easily feel like overwhelmed, that I'm guessing. And you know, like, my next question is really like, how is this impacting your mental health? And I think because you have worked in the corporate world, in the UK for a long time, you might have even internalized and normalized a lot of those, of this racism. And, you know, like, and I'm guessing you even have to like assimilate sometimes to their culture and to what they are in order to keep your job and to survive, like you are saying, you know. But yeah, what is the impact on all of this on your mental health?
I had a head of the region, a head of France in my current company. She left early this year. And we went to an event last year. It was my first event in the company. And we all took a picture. All the team took a picture together. And I was the only Black person on the picture, okay? Mm-hmm. When the picture was taken, she took the picture, she went all around the room and she said, let's play a game. And the game was, let's try to find Cassandra on the picture. That was the name of her game. And it was right after I lost the baby.
Not so funny. It's not funny.
It was
at
right
all.
After I went through the operation to after my miscarriage and stuff. So at that moment, surprisingly, it didn't even shock me. I didn't even process what she said, you know, because I'm so used to hearing jokes like that. And even myself, when someone takes a picture of me now, I'm like, oh, but don't bother because you're not going to see me on the picture anyway. That's my first reaction, you know?
Mm.
And it was later on when people came to me and say, Cass, you know, why you didn't say anything? I'm like, what do you mean? But her joke was, they were like, but her joke was clearly inappropriate. And I'm like, then why didn't you say anything?
They should be saying something. Like,
if I were to say something, I would come across as someone who doesn't take a joke, who's aggressive. So if you noticed it was bad, why are you telling me that she was bad? Why didn't you tell
exactly.
her?
It was and from them to just stay silent and do nothing and then come to you and be like, oh, but why didn't you say anything? Is also like supporting this racism.
What's happening? They're covering their ass, basically. So in terms of my mental health, I always felt that I wasn't fitting, first of all, physically. As a Black woman, I'm tall, I'm curvy, my hair are different. Just going to with braids sometimes when I get my hair done, I'm always anxious to go to the office with a fresh haircut because I'm scared that I will be, it will be too much, or I will be attracting too much attention, or stuff like that. So when I get a new braids haircut, I'm always so anxious to go to the office right after that because I'm scared to not eat. I've been looking at losing a lot of weight because they're all skinny and white and I'm here curvy and a bit chubby, you know. And then for my job, the level of anxiety I have before each meeting with clients is unbelievable because I'm always scared to come to a client and hear some inappropriate comments, because it happened to me, it happened to other people as well. And because I know the management will not say anything, because that's what happened, you know? It's internalizing comments, behavior, is really trying to fit in to the point that you sometimes lose your identity.
You have to assimilate.
You have
like
to
deny yourself to
you have to keep quiet. You don't want to come across as this aggressive Black woman. So if there's something that pisses you off, you have to be even more diplomatic than your coworkers to say something that you're unhappy with.
Or like find ways to please people
exactly.
while you say some things that
when
might
you, when you when you them. Perform when you perform very well, you're called lucky. How is that luck? I'm not lucky. I work my ass off. I've been up until 10 p.m. I was up at 6 a.m. I had my computer on holidays. It's not luck. I'm good at my job. But they don't understand why I'm good at my job. It doesn't make sense to them. Why? How can she be good at her job? While a white man would do exactly the same thing is going to be praised. President Club, trip to Costa Rica and all that shit. You know? The level of anxiety that you build up in this type of environment, the need to hide yourself, to blend, to conform, is huge. Recently, I've been really trying to hold on to my Black identity as a Black person, and to say out loud, listen, I'm a Black person. I don't see myself being represented. Doesn't matter the risk of it, even though I know I could cause problem. I was told to like keep quiet, to like, Cassie, I was told, Cassie, you know, we love how blunt you are. I was told, we love how direct you are. We loved how, you know, well-spoken, and you always say what you have in mind. But there are some subjects I was told that there are some subjects that I'm speaking about that makes other people uncomfortable. Example, when the Queen died, rest in peace. When the Queen died, the Queen of England died last November, I think. People in the office were mourning, they were crying or whatever, except if you were Irish. And my manager, one of the managers who was Irish, before even her death was announced, he came to the office and he said to a few of us, oh, she's dead anyway. And we were like, how do you know? Oh, he just said, I know she's just dead, in a funny way, you know? Anyway, after it was confirmed, I came, we had a meeting with the rest of the team, I think. And they spoke about how some of them went to London, they queued to see her, and it was very sad, very moving. And I politely replied, I say, hey, I said, hey, you know, from a person-to-person point of view, she's a grandma, so obviously it's sad that she passed away. From a monarch point of view,
Human is not the
I said
everything she represented is was
exactly.
wrong.
From a monarch point of view, I really don't care. And you know what happened when I said
Same.
that? Okay, so I said that. And a few weeks after, I had my growth conversation with my manager. So every quarter, you have a growth conversation with your manager to speak about performance and personal development and stuff. I was told that apparently one of my areas of improvement was my communication skills because I quote, Cassie, you did say on a meeting that you didn't care about the queen dying and you could have offended other people on the call. And I was thinking to myself,
Lord.
does those people even wonder how the manager
Why you reacted like this?
would feel of you celebrating the death of someone that actually killed their people? That never crossed your mind that to think about the other way around?
Yeah, to think about the reason why white black people might not
Exactly. Or why
care
black
or
people,
like
why
be
Indian
sad
people,
about.
why Jamaican people, or why even Irish people were not happy, didn't care? I didn't even say I was happy. I just said I didn't care about it. Why would I go to London? I don't care about it. And people were like, oh, you know, you should have thought about other people's feelings, but what about ours? What about
What
mine?
about, what about your feeling when everybody is making joke, when everybody is treating you as
Exactly.
like
So,
as something else, or
and this
like
is what
clearly
you faced.
having stereotypes and all of those
And this
things?
is what you faced. It's like those person who quote Martin Luther King once in a blue moon when it's the Martin Luther King Day in the US, or that just say a couple of things now and then about the Black History Month, but not actually put any effort, no donation, nothing behind. But when it was Ukraine or anything like that, oh,
It's performative.
they
It's
showed up.
performative
They showed up.
allyship. It's people who are like, oh, I'm not racist, and then they are making fun of like black people, or like being passive aggressive to black people, or being racist basically. But I'm really sorry that you had to experience all of this, and obviously it had an impact on your mental health, as it would, because being in a space where you are part of the minority and always having to assimilate and to fight to kind of like make yourself respected, to earn the respect of your coworker when they are clearly being racist, and then they are clearly not actively trying to make the space more inclusive and safer for people of color, is an experience that I think nobody from the black community should have to endure. But unfortunately, for the black community in the Western world, it is true that a lot of corporate places and companies are white dominated, and they are not doing any work for the black community, and a lot of black people are having to step in those spaces to make money, to earn money, to earn good money, and to survive. But there is a lack of willingness from those places to make any efforts, any action to make the spaces safer for black people, because we are living in racist, because the West is racist, and institution in the rest are racist, and because of systematic racism in general. And I think that for a lot of people, for a lot of black people who are working in those kind of spaces, such as yourself, it's important to have some kind of like support, to see some kind of like therapist, or to have like safe spaces in which they can express their experiences and what they are living through, and also to have support from their black community. I think that that's also essential, for black people, for you to be with black people who are experiencing the same thing, to be able to share what you're going through, and to have people that can rely, like what's not rely, sorry, what's the word I'm looking for? People, yeah, that people for people for whom what you are saying echoes, if it makes sense. I think that's very essential, having a community, or like a group of people with whom you are, who you can identify with, you can relate. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, you can relate with, because I think it will make whatever you are experiencing seem like it will be less lonely for you, because I think that those kind of like experiences might feel very lonely. and like isolating.
It is, but that's where, because I've been through it and I'm going to be a mom of a mixed race child, that's something I'm going to focus all my time on, because I know in this environment, I really need to be careful about how my son will identify himself. And yes, you know, I cannot quit my job. I cannot, because I need it, you know, unfortunately I need it. But I've been looking more and more to work for myself, to get close to people that looks more like me, even though we're only in the UK. But also to have a group that looks like me outside of work, so we can speak about it and get advice from each other.
Exactly, yeah. Support, get that support system.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about building support system. Like me, I've never really worked in the corporate world, and I've always had the chance to kind of like be in environments, that in diverse environments, and especially because of the work that I do as an advocate. And you know, also part of my work is like facilitating a conversation and workshop with organization to talk about their like diversity and inclusion, and to make the space more anti-racist. So I've never really experienced working in a corporate world in companies white dominated. I mean, I did like when I started working for organization, and I had to take myself out of those environments very quickly, because I remember it being very damaging to my mental health. And yeah, there's a lot of things that I could tell you about like working in the NGO world and them being very racist, but I think in comparison to how the corporate world works, the way it is structured, it is much more damaging for Black people to work in this kind of environment. But yeah, I'm thank you very much for sharing about your experience, and I really hope that you get some kind of support either through your therapist, but also that you will take yourself more in spaces where you are with people that you can identify with.
Thank you. We can carry on this discussion in another podcast. I think there's so much to unpack, but yeah.
I think so, yeah. We'll definitely follow up on that conversation. I really do want to touch more on like mental health and, you know, like Black people being in like white dominated environment and what they can do. Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much. And thank you anybody who tuned in to this episode. If you are going through similar experiences and you want to share it with me, you can reach out to me on my Instagram, OPHELIEELK. And yeah, I'll see you in the next episode. Bye, Cassandra.
Bye.